I know I was a little tired, but y'all sleeping. Renovation needs to happen. Why do I need to be renovated? My mind. He said, by the renewing of the what? A renovation of my mind needs to happen. In other words, when you go to renovate something, you don't leave that old stuff in there, do you? You go in there and you tear out, you gut it out. Y'all don't hear me in here. You gut out all that stuff that was already in there, and you start to replace some things. And so I need to start replacing stuff in my mind first. Why the mind? Because that's where the battle begins. That's where the battle is fought against the devil, because he put stuff in your mind and you have all this kind of stinking thinking about others and about yourself. He had all this stuff that he put in your mind, these images he put in your mind to try and destroy you. Let me share something with you. Did you know the reason why Adam and Eve could not go back into the Garden of Eden is because of the image? The image, let me say it like this first. The cherubim. The word cherubim means image. And so if it was an image that kept them out from going in, it was the image and the flaming sword, which was the word. But they knew if they went back in, they would have to sacrifice themselves. They would maybe get cut by the...
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries in Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Bell Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is gospel radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to the book of the Gospel of John, John 13 chapter. I want the liberty to walk up and down through this 13th chapter. 34 and 35 is where we want to launch, but we're going to need to back up to fill in the spaces for this. St. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Begin reading now.
A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another.
Amen. Now pick up verse 17. Read now.
If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them.
Amen. Amen. Will the church say amen?
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We walk right until he said, you're happy if you don't, you know them, and you're happy if you do them. We got a little quiet there. I want to talk about, can you love like Christ? Can you love like Christ? A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And he goes on to tell them to love ye one another. And he goes on in that 35th verse to let folk know that the only way men will know that you are my disciples is if you have love one to another. But what I want us to see in this 13th chapter of St. John is how Jesus loved, how he loved. He didn't love in word and tongue only, but he loved in truth, in deed and in truth. And that's how God wants us through Christ Jesus to love. Don't let your love simply be words spoken from your lips, but not demonstrated in your life. It was in 1965 when Hal David and Burt Bacharach wrote the song, What the World Needs Now is Love, Sweet Love. It's the only thing that there's just too little love. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Not just for some, but for everyone. Now, I need you to know, though this is a secular song, there's much spiritual truth to that song. And psychiatrists have said man's greatest need is to be loved and to give and receive love. Man's greatest need is to be loved and to give and receive love. How true that is, my brothers and sisters. One of the things that I want us to understand here, if we look at verse 1 of St. John chapter 13, the narrative account tells us that they're getting ready for the Passover feast, and it's the eve before, and Jesus is making plain and clear some truths that he wants the disciples to hold on to. Now, many of us know this chapter or this account as the story or narrative of Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. Most of us know that this did not happen so that we could add a third ordinance to the church. First ordinance was baptism. Second ordinance was the Lord's Supper. But the third ordinance was not foot washing. Not that anything is wrong with foot washing, but that was a deeper message that the Lord was trying to get over to the disciples, that he's trying to get over to us, and we want to give as much attention to that deeper message beyond foot washing. It's about humility. It's about, regardless of your position and your power, that you should learn how to humble yourself and serve even the lowest among us. One of the things that I want to do is just kind of walk you through that. You can read it as you are listening or certainly in your devotional time. But in the Eastern time, in Jesus' time, they wore sandals, open-faced sandals. They didn't have closed-in shoes. They didn't wear socks. They were open-faced sandals. And when you went to folks' house, especially well-to-do folk house, when you walked in, either to the left or to the right, there was a bench, a basin, and a pitcher of water. And you would walk in and sit down on the bench, and you would slip off your sandals, and the servant or the slave would take your foot, and he would pour the water in the basin and move the basin underneath your feet and stick one in and then the other, and he would wash the dust off of your feet, because in that day the roads were not paved with cement and asphalt. They were dusty, grimy, dirty roads. And so everywhere they went, dust was kicked up. And even after they had taken a bath, going to other places with other people, their feet always got dirty. So the custom was that if they were going to dinner, especially, a servant would be there to wash their feet. Well, in this narrative, there was no servant there to wash the feet of Jesus and the disciples. And Jesus himself humbles himself. He who came from God, he who was going back to God, left an example for his disciples to follow so that they would understand how important it is to humble yourself and serve your fellow man. There are three things I want you to see about the verse 17. It says, if ye then know these things, happy are ye. But it doesn't stop there. It says what? If ye do them. If ye do them. Jesus, listen, used his head, his heart, and his hands to serve mankind. Let me say that again. He used his head, his heart, and his hands to serve mankind. That's the example he has left for us, to use our head, use our heart, and use our hands to serve him. The head represented the information. Jesus knew the custom. There was no one there to wash their feet. They were going to have supper. So he knew the custom was that you would wash your feet. Not one of his disciples took the initiative to use their head and said, if I won't wash nobody else's feet, at least I wash my own. And yet Jesus took it upon himself, and he implemented washing the feet of others so that they would have an example to do after him. The head was for information, the heart was for inspiration, but the hands were for implementation. All right, see, what we've got to learn is that in ministry, we've got to use all of us to glorify all of him by serving mankind. And listen at this, my brothers and sisters. Jesus has made clear that if you want to be great in the kingdom, you've got to humble yourself and serve. Serve. So the first portion of this actually deals with the people's condition. The people are the person's condition. Because it's important to recognize if they don't use their head, don't use their heart, don't use their hands, they can't really serve. But what's important to know is what you have to do to serve. And there are three things, at least, there are multiple things, but three things I want to focus on that Jesus focused on in the text. The first thing was that Jesus used selfless love.
Yes, yes.
Selfless love. Jot that down, selfless love. Here's why I need you to know that, because he's already made clear in the text that he's done this for an example. Now, if he's done it for an example, he wants us to pay attention to it, and he wants us to get the message of humility. No matter how great you are,
yes, yes,
the servant is not greater than his Lord,
yes,
and the man who is sent is not greater than the one who has sent him.
Yes.
And Jesus is trying to help them to understand, as his Father has sent him, so has he sent us. And if he can do it, we can do it also. Now listen, the first thing was selflessness. Now go back, if you will, read verses 4 and 5. Verse 4 and 5, right quickly, if you will. Begin reading now.
And laid aside his garment, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded.
Now listen, I want you to see something, because this is an example of Jesus being selfless in his love. This, where he got up, took off his outer garment and laid it to the side, was an example of what he did in glory. In heaven, he laid aside his divine deity as the Son of God to come down. He went from sovereignty to slavery. He left heaven and all of its glory, laid aside all that he was in glory to come down and be a servant to man. I don't know who in this life has had a higher position than Jesus, and yet he could humble himself to give up, as the old folks say, heaven and all its immortal glory, and come down here and take on the form of a servant, humbling himself. Philippians 2, 5 through 8 tells us about this story. He, Jesus Christ, not counting it, you know, robbery to be equal with God. Why was he not counting it robbery to be equal with God? Because there are three things you need to know about Christ. Christ, listen, he's coexistent with God. He's co-eternal with God. And he is he's coexistent, co-eternal, and the other co will come back in a minute. Three things he is in his own right. God is in three persons, but it was only in the reality of his Son that he came to planet Earth. And as co-eternal, as co-existent with God, he had no problem with being equal with God, because he was what? Co-equal with him. He was co-equal with him. He was co-eternal and coexisted with God. If he was all of that, then if anybody had a right to be puffed up, it was Jesus.
Come on, doctor.
But he gave us the highest example of humility in humbling ourselves. My brothers and sisters, let me say this to you, because a whole lot of us don't understand how humbling ourselves gives God the opportunity to raise us, to lift us. You see, when we lift ourselves up, whatever glory that's gained, whatever good that's gained, whatever prominence that's gained, you want to claim. But when you humble yourself, and God lifts you up, then God gets the glory as he gives to you the good. God has no problem sharing his goods with you. But the glory belongs to him. And we've got to learn, when men try to give us glory for something God has done through us, we've got to learn how to receive that glory and usher it up to God and say, to God be the glory. I know they don't see God, say, see me, but I am a representative of God. So I've got to make sure that I usher the glory that is due God back up to him. So I want you to understand something here. He was selfless in his love. He laid aside his garment. How many of us would be willing to be second place and let somebody else get in front of us? How many of us would be willing to say to someone else, listen, let me step back and let you take the limelight. After all, it's all about him. No, we want to be the one shining the light. So we can get some credit for the process. Listen, selfless love came from Jesus. I want to show you something else too. He had steadfast love.
Yes, he had.
Steadfast love. You know what? It doesn't matter if your love is selfless and is not steadfast. Don't you know some people who have loved you one moment? And something has happened and they don't love you no more? Have you ever had an experience where you have continued to love them, but they have turned their backs on you? People do that all the time and call themselves Christians. I need you to see this. Go to verse 1. Verse 1. What you read at verse 1, when you get that, say amen. Amen. I want you to see this now. That's why I'm asking you to read and participate. Verse 1. I'm almost through now. Verse 1. Read.
Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end.
How did he love them? How did he love them? Listen, he didn't have a lovely bunch of brothers there. But he loved them unto the end. Listen, divine agape love is God's love, God-like love. That's the kind of love that God gives to you that you give to others. Listen, it is the premier, supreme, superior love, God's agape love. It is this love that Jesus is talking about. It is this love that caused Jesus to come from glory, and he was going back to glory after he had accomplished the things that he came down here to do. It was that love from the Father, of the Father, that he demonstrated to us, and we are to demonstrate to others. My brothers and sisters, I need you to know, it's important for you to recognize, if you don't have God's love, you cannot love.
All right.
Let me tell you why you can't love. Because if you don't have God's love, you can't love yourself. And if you can't love yourself, got news for you. You can't love nobody else. See, when you see people doing all of the harmful things to themselves, they don't love themselves. They have not come to that place where they love themselves. There are five words that Christians in every church should be well acquainted with so that they can flourish in the things of God. Five things. If you forget anything else I say here today, focus in on these five words. The first word is grace. Grace. Second word is faith. Faith. Third word is peace. Peace. Fourth word is love. Love. And the fifth word is fellowship. Fellowship. See, in the Christian church, all of this can be found in these verses we're reading to you today. Jesus is emphasizing the reality of all of these things in the text to us. Listen, grace. Do you know what grace is? I'm not talking about the classic definition of grace. God's unmerited favor and his God's unmerited love, etc., and all of this. But do you really know what grace is? Well, get your pen and paper. I want you to know this so you have it. Grace is God's acceptance of me. You. Grace is God's acceptance of you. When you think about how powerful that is, God's acceptance of you by grace, are you saved? God accepts you and you not being the best, but you being your worst. He accepts you. Now listen, we can dress up on Sunday mornings and we can put on our religious talk and all our religious garbs and all that good stuff, but we know heaven ain't all in us. Truth of the matter is, there's a little hell in us also. If you don't believe it, has anyone sinned last week? That's not heaven. Listen, we got a little hell in us on the inside, just like we have heaven on the inside of us. You've got to recognize, brothers and sisters, that in spite of who we are, what we've done, God's grace is his acceptance of me. Faith, because if you're going to have the reality of his grace, his acceptance of you, then you have to join it with faith. By grace are you saved through faith. Faith. Now, what is faith? Faith is my acceptance of God's acceptance of me. My acceptance of God's acceptance of me. That's faith. I attach my belief to what God has done. Listen, we are in partnership together in redemption. I said we're in partnership. He can't save us without us participating in the salvation. And so faith is my acceptance of God's acceptance of me. And then we have, thirdly, peace. Why do we have peace? Because the peace comes in that now that God has accepted me, and now that I accept that God has accepted me, now I can accept me.
All right.
Listen. So many people cannot and have not accepted themselves. And that's why they put on and they perform and pretend. They try to change themselves because they have not accepted themselves. They got to look like somebody else. Look like the status quo, on and on and on and on, because there is no peace underneath the skin.
Yes, Lord.
About who they are. You come to the reality that you might not be like this person or that person, but I got news for you. That person or the other person is not like you.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow.